We are going to hear from God, and we're going to look to a passage in the Bible where it ties into everything that we have just sung, what Pastor Jack is just talking about. But what we need to be mindful of when we read the passage is how it talks about the fact that just as God had promised that he would send his son into the world, God is coming back. And I want you to think about this morning. What does it mean to live as God's holy and dearly loved children? We're going to read from 2 Peter chapter 3. Hear from God. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in these the last days, it says the last days, but the proper translation is in these the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised?" Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are destroyed for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward for the day of God and speed its coming, the day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will mount in the heat. Whether it was said 5 years ago or 5 minutes ago, I suspect we can all remember it. I hate you. I wish you weren't my parents. You're ugly. Nobody could ever love you. You're dumb. Or maybe it was that choice we made as a teenager, and we thought that shoplifting something wasn't a big deal. But now 20 years later, we apply for a job, and our record holds us back. We were promiscuous when we were a teenager. And now 25 years later, we want to get married, and we're haunted by the side effects. We got drunk one day, and we drove and we killed someone. Have you ever noticed that events in our lives have a way of trapping us? They have a way of making us afraid, or even fearful, in fact. And more often than not, I think we allow the events or the stories of our lives to become the story of our lives. We begin to believe that we can't be trusted, that we can't be loved, that we're not worth it. Maybe we are the mistake. And have you noticed in life that more often than not, we say that's the way or the reason we are why we are. That's the reason why we are in this situation we find ourselves. But what if Our lives didn't need to be marked by the past, but by grace. To hear words that Peter brings up in 1 Peter when he says this, "You are holy." Holy. Have you ever thought of yourself as holy? In fact, in 1 Peter, he uses these words that you are holy and dearly loved. He goes on a little later and he says, in fact, you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God. Once you lived in darkness, but now you don't. Now you live in his marvelous light. Holy. Set apart. Separated in conduct, in speech, in life. Now remember who's writing. His name is Peter. He is hot-headed. He is impulsive. He's short-tempered. He's the one who said in that moment where he could stand for Jesus, "I never knew you, I never knew you, I never knew you." But remember the past. Remember grace. Peter, full of wisdom and compassion. Upon him, God would build his church. That's the story of grace. God changes from who we are to who he wants us to be. And immediately, Peter says, remember the past. Remember the prophets. I will send one who will come and crush the head of the serpent. I will send a Messiah. We know these words, right? And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I will lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey. A little later on, I will never leave you or forsake you. The promises of God, that he would be our God, he would be his people, that he would redeem us, that he would make us new, that we could learn to live in the story of grace. Peter witnessed all of this. He was there with the death and the resurrection and the ascension. He's the eyewitness testimony to the promise of the prophets that Jesus would come and he would deliver us. And then Peter and the disciples tell the story of the God who would come again, who would be with us to the very end of the age. You see, there's something good about the past, because the past tells us God has done this. Only God could have redeemed me. Only God could have made me new. Only God could have taken my stuff and transformed me. But it begs the question, how will you and I live? Let me put the question on the table right away. Are you ready for Jesus to come if you were to come right now? And if the answer is no, why not? The passage says that the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And there were people who were ridiculing. They were making fun because they were saying, "Well, where is he? It's been so long." They didn't understand that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. You see, we don't know when God is going to return, but he wants us to be ready. You know, if a thief were to come to my house tonight and I knew that a thief was going to come at 5 o'clock, if you have seen Home Alone 1, 2, or 3, that's nothing compared to what I would have laid out. He would or she would be in a whole lot of trouble. I also would have the police in my house, and when they came at 5 o'clock, after they were bruised and they were torn apart by all the toys and everything all around, they'd be taken off to jail. Because I know when they're coming. If God were to tell you today, I am coming at 7 o'clock tonight, we would all be ready. But because I don't know if someone is ever going to try to get into my home or when Jesus is going to return, he says, always be ready because it could happen instantly. Now, our passage tells us three things that we need to be aware of. The first one we're not going to like is that there is going to be a judgment. There is going to be a moment when God comes again and some will go to heaven and some won't. And already some people are going to say, that's not fair. How could a good and a loving God do that? Well, let me try to explain it as simply as I can. Now, if you have children, you discipline your children because you love them. In fact, the Bible says that if you don't discipline them, you're actually a fool. But that's just a side note. God, in the same way, relentlessly pursued Israel. Even when they worshiped the golden calf, even when they married those of other nations that God told them not to, God relentlessly pursued them. But he put in place punishments for them because he loved them, and they were always in place to bring them back unto himself. Now, just like Israel, there will be a day where some children will simply say, you know what? Enough! I want nothing to do with you. And yet God, like a parent, relentlessly pursues his child. But he's not going to force us to say, yes, we love God, because what kind of loving God or parent would force us? But although he relentlessly pursues us, he realizes that there is a moment where there will be those who, although they have known, they have tasted, they maybe even experienced this thing called grace, will simply say, you know what? I'd rather do it on my own. And there in the midst of the conversation is the skeptics, is the scoffers, is the false teachers in our passage who are only teaching for their own advantage. In fact, the passage says, in fact, he didn't even create the heavens and the earth. But how do you explain a first cause? How do you explain the world coming into being? And then they said, well, things are still the same. They've awfully missed out on how things aren't the same. Because in the beginning, they were good and perfect and wonderful. And God has come to redeem everything. And he says, there you look at it. And the teachers and the scoffers who are persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. Remember, this is a letter to a whole church. Says, don't worry, there will be a time and a day where they will get their due. As people of grace, who know the story of God's redemptive love, how will you and I live differently in light of the story of grace? Now, here's two exciting things our passage teaches us in relation to the judgment. When you begin to look at your past, the Bible tells us that we are not cemented or stuck in our past, but we are delivered because of grace. Nothing in our past can keep us from the grace of God for those of us who are in him. And that in mind, nothing can take away eternity from followers of Christ who remain faithful. Our security in God has been accomplished by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. As you and I walk our Christian life, as you and I are faithful in our walk, the Bible says that we're going to get there. We'll get to heaven. But then there's a second part. The second part is we don't understand the grace and the wisdom of God. We're going to be surprised at who's in heaven. And we need to realize that we don't have the wisdom to decide who gets to heaven and who doesn't. Because my suspicion is this, is that if we were to think we had the wisdom, we would begin to pick and choose who got to heaven. And more often than not, we would begin to execute anyone that has ever done a wrong to us. So well, the people of God are going through this. He's saying, why don't you leave that to God? Why don't you leave that for God to decide who's going to get there, of what punishment is going to be like? And why don't you walk in grace as God's holy and dearly loved people? The second thing our passage tells us is that at the end of the world, something is going to happen. God is going to take this world as we know it, and by fire — fire in the Bible is always used for purification, is always used in light of taking out impurity — God is going to take this world as we know it, and he's going to purify it into this new world, or the new heaven and the new earth, where you and I will spend with all of eternity. But notice what happens. He says, not only is God going to purify this so that we as his covenant people will be able to live with him, but he also says, all the things of the world, our possessions, our achievements, are all going to disappear and they're going to become like rubbish. And the only thing left when we stand before God is going to be people. And so as God's holy and dearly loved people, saved by grace, how will our lives tell the story of grace? Now, why hasn't it happened yet? Because God is gracious and compassionate. And God's desire is that no one would be separated from him for all of eternity. 2 Peter 3 says, the Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Bear in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation. Live holy and godly lives because he's coming. Are you ready? There's a great illustration that was told about Dwight D. Eisenhower, but I want to translate it to something we understand more, and we'll just make it Justin Trudeau. Justin Trudeau went to a church. The illustration says Denver, but we'll call it in Richmond Hill. And there was a guy in that church named Paul Hanley Jr., his real name. And they prayed over him at church, and he had cancer. And so the prime minister decided he would go and visit him. And so imagine getting the knock on the door. Paul Hanley Jr. had just gotten out of bed. He wasn't doing any very well. And there he was. His hair was a mess. He wasn't shaven. He was in track pants and a ripped t-shirt. And there in front of him stood the Prime Minister of Canada and his entourage. And all he could think about was how he looked. The Prime Minister tried to avoid it and not mention that. But they began to talk. And they were there for about 20 minutes. And by that time, a large crowd began to gather around the house talking about how exciting it must have been to have the Prime Minister come and visit you. But all Paul Hanley could think about was how he looked. You see, if you never expect Justin Trudeau to show up at your house, you're never going to be ready. If you never expect God to come again, you're never going to be ready. God wants us to ask this morning, are we ready? Are you ready for him to come? And there's two ways that we can answer that. Is, of course, but I hope I have a few more years. But then he says, live holy and godly lives. And the second part is, you know what? I'm still stuck in this. I don't know if God could love me. I don't know if I could be forgiven. I don't even know if I want God. But maybe this morning God is knocking on the heart of your door saying, come to the God who's relentlessly been pursuing you for all of these years. And for those of you who know the story of grace, He says live holy and godly lives. How do you do that? I think it's by putting disciplines in our lives. Disciplines like prayer, like worship, giving, service, living a pious life, getting rid of everything that is evil and clinging to that which is good. He ends with, you ought to live holy and godly lives. What does the past teach us? The past, people of God, I hope you caught it this morning, teaches us that God is good and he's gracious and he's loving and he's patient and he wants your heart. He's the relentless pursuer of all that is good. And let me close with this. It's verses 14 to 18. Dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote, with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes in the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of all these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which people who are unable or ignorant distort, as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, and ask what it's there for. Dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you will not be carried away by the error of lawlessness and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are the good and the loving pursuer of every human being. Lord, each of us knows of someone who is wrestling with you, who has rejected you, who is trying to make sense of grace. Lord, we pray that through the power of your Spirit, you would open hearts and that you would open doors for opportunities for your church in loving and in gracious ways to tell the story of the God who is inviting them to something more, of the God who is inviting them to wholeness, to life itself, to be a part of your forever family. And so, God, we would pray this morning that today would be a day where hearts would be opened. And that, Lord, as your church, we would, in loving and not judgmental and caring and loving pastoral ways, would walk into the story of our family members and our friends who need to hear the story of grace. And that we would boldness tell the story of the hope that is in us because of the God who changed us. And we pray that you would do that work. Lord, we want to pray for Brad and Marianne as they continue their mission work in Bolivia. And later this week, we'll come home. We pray for safe travel. We pray for the last few days to be wonderful opportunities to serve you in word and in deed. We pray that there would be much fruit from their labors. We pray that the kingdom would be advanced. Lord, we pray that for Phil and Janetta in Tanzania. We pray that for our ministries, as we gather again with many of our youth ministries tomorrow night and Boys Club gets added to the mix, we pray for open hearts and open doors to tell the story. And this morning, in our own lives, may the story of your grace speak into those moments, into those stories that we still need you to break through. And that we would believe that we're forgiven. That we would believe that we're worthy. We would believe that you love us. And that together as your church, we would boldly and radically and unapologetically tell the story of your amazing love. Thank you for grace. Thank you for your promises. And Lord, thank you that you're coming again. And that we will spend eternity with you And it will be a place of no more sickness, no more sadness, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sin. And that we will be able to enjoy you forever. Move us by your Spirit to live holy and godly lives. In your name we pray. Amen.